if historians, up until recently at least, have not always given women the credit that they deserve, and we've talked about that in several podcasts of late, science has been particularly unfair in this area. And if you're Spanish, the likelihood of fame is even less. In the world of science, medicine, and biology, traditionally, two names from Spain stand out. They stand out as major figures universally. Both are Nobel Prize winners. One is Santiago Ramón y Cajal, the father of neuroscience. He is actually so famous that his name appears in the television sitcom The Big Bang Theory. Anyway, the other one was Severo Ochoa, who is famous for his contributions to genetics. Now, speaking of genetics, it is the development of biotechnology, genetic research, identification of individuals by DNA samples, diagnosis of diseases, cloning, detection of tumors, and so on, that interests us here. And all of these advances have been made possible thanks to the work done by a Spanish biochemist, Margarita Salas of Spain. Salas died 6 years ago in 2019, just before the COVID pandemic, which I guess in a certain way was good, so she could avoid suffering from that. On the other hand, certain aspects of her research in certain ways contributed to the famous PCR test. Anyway, Margarita Salas Falgueras was born in 1938 in a small village near Luarca, which is a beautiful town on the coast of Asturias, which is a province on the northern coast of Spain. It's a beautiful region, wonderful towns, wonderful people, wonderful food, and wonderful beaches and coastlines. Anyway, that's where she was born, and her father was a psychiatrist and had a clinic in the city of Gijón, which is also in Asturias and also on the coast and not far from Luarca. There she lived with her two brothers and her mother, who was a teacher. Now, her parents were big supporters of higher education and had a strong influence on the family's three children, as it was always clear to this couple that they should all, by that I mean the boys and the girl, Margarita, pursue a university degree, something unusual at that time when families did not always support women's education. I know several women born in that generation who simply did not get the higher education opportunity that they deserved. Anyway, she was educated in a religious center, a school where sciences, arts, and humanities were not separate compartments. They sort of provided a global vision of knowledge, and that was important for her throughout life. José Salas, Margarita's father, also, when he was a student, before he got married and had kids, lived as a student resident in a student residence in Madrid, and there he got to know great intellectuals of the time, such as Buñuel, Dalí, Lorca, and even the famous scientist Severo Ochoa himself. And this man would play a key role in Margarita's education and career. In fact, the friendship and sort of certain kinship of Margarita's father with Ochoa had a decisive influence on her decision in becoming a biochemist. The event that marked Margarita's decision to pursue research happened while she was a student. A talk by Severo Ochoa in Oviedo, which is the capital of Asturias, that she attended, and a book on biochemistry that he subsequently sent to her from New York seemed to cause an impact. So she went on to study that discipline, and she received a degree in chemical sciences and a PhD in biochemistry from the Complutense University of Madrid, which is traditionally Madrid's biggest and most traditional university. It is also there that she met her future husband, Eladio Viñuela, who was also a biochemist. Margarita and Eladio were united by a passion for research in their time as students, and then there was obviously a passion for each other, and they remained together throughout their entire lives. In fact, they both furthered their studies at New York University under the supervision of Severo Ochoa between 1964 and 1967. By this time, Ochoa was a Nobel laureate. During this period, Salas obtained some of the most important achievements of her research. One was the direction or the directionality of reading, or how to read the genetic message. Also the identification of the triplet that stops transcription and initiation factors of protein biosynthesis. And thanks to these results, she became a sort of scientific authority in the subject and returned to Spain. This came at a time when few Spanish women were working in research, although she says Ochoa, in this case, always treated her as a person, regardless of the fact that she was a woman. Anyway, back in Spain, she returned there to promote molecular biology research in the country, bringing with her sort of an unwavering scientific rigor and an infinite enthusiasm for science. She was famous for this, her work ethic. She was passionate about what she did. And she was one of the first women to be appointed as research professor when these positions were created during the 70s. Then Margarita created her team, her scientific team, at the Spanish National Research Council, the CSIC. I've actually been in one of those buildings a long, long time ago. And from there, she presented one of her most outstanding contributions to science. She discovered and characterized the DNA polymerase of the phage Phi-29. Now, first of all, what the heck is a phage? That's a great question. A phage, or bacteriophage, which is actually its more formal name, is a virus that infects and replicates within bacteria. And this phage is special for the way it replicates, and today we're going to find out just why that is so important. First of all, let's find out the other part. What is a polymerase? A polymerase is a sort of crucial enzyme. Enzymes are things that make things happen in the body, and they act as catalysts and trigger reactions. And this one creates long chains of nucleic acids, DNA or RNA, by adding individual nucleotides to a template strand. So basically, it amplifies. DNA polymerase has the power to replicate genetic material accurately, easily, and quickly. These properties of the polymerase made it a biological tool for amplifying DNA that came in very small quantities. So in other words, its great advantage is that it achieves this with minimum amounts of DNA, such as, for example, a drop of blood or a strand of hair found at a crime scene. With that, they're able to amplify the genetic material and identify its owner. So this facilitates and speeds up investigations, medical diagnoses, identifications in criminology, forensics, etc. And the selection of the Phi-29 virus was key, this phage. It was a simple-looking virus that became an experimental system that provides many benefits because it was extremely efficient and accurate. So this was a major breakthrough. The process was given a patent in the United States, and also the European Patent Office in Munich, and then in the countries of Japan, Spain, and Germany, so it was recognized internationally. It also provided direct economic benefits to the research center. It was considered to be Spain's most profitable scientific patent in history. So that's another bonus there. So basically, we're talking about genetic discoveries that we hear about. Oh, they had the DNA, they were able to find out the information through the DNA. Well, this process could take any bit of DNA pretty much and amplify it. And so it was very much easier to get information and to identify and locate and diagnose. Margarita also had later achievements, including the detection of a covalent bond between a protein and a nucleic acid, and a new system of DNA replication through a terminal protein. So her achievements continued throughout her career. Margarita Salas was a professor of molecular genetics at the School of Chemistry at the University Complutense of Madrid. She received honorary doctorates from 10 universities, and she was elected as an academic of the Royal Academy of Sciences in 1988 and the Spanish Royal Academy in 2001, the National Academy of Sciences of the United States, the American Academy of Arts and Sciences in 2005, and the European Organization of Molecular Biology, EMBO, in 1983. So her work and achievements have been highly recognized around the world. For a woman, a Spanish woman, she was a first in many ways. Throughout her career, Margarita Salas authored more than 350 scientific publications, delivered over 400 presentations, and held 8 patents. She was always a strong advocate for women's rights based on her own experiences, and she served as a professor, as I told you before. She's received numerous awards. She was the first Spanish scientist to be elected to the National Academy of Sciences. She was also awarded the Mendel Medal and the Rey Jaime I Award, the National Ramón y Cajal Award, the L'Oréal UNESCO Award for Women in Science, among many others. And then finally, in 2019, she received the European Inventor Award in 2 categories, Lifetime Achievement and the Popular Prize awarded by the public, which was something that had never happened in the history of these awards. Ironically, and sadly enough, she never won a Nobel Prize. On a popular level, some felt she deserved one, but among the experts, her findings were very important and very impressive, but generally sort of expected. In other words, there were other missing elements or criteria that the Academy looks at that probably denied her a chance at winning that prize. More surprisingly is that she was never awarded the prestigious Premio Princesa de Asturias. This is the most important award in Spain in general. It has several categories, and right now, without a doubt, to win that prize is the most important one in Spain. It was mainly for Spaniards at first. This started, I think, in 1983. I'm going to have to tell you about this because it's got an interesting history. But over the years, it's expanded to have a more international feel to it. Anyway, it seems like she could have been a prime candidate. There is a category for her, and it seems like she could have won it. And on top of that, she was from Asturias, her homeland, but it never happened, and it was especially painful for her. And this much she admitted. And unfortunately, I think it was unfair. Now, besides being a famous figure in her field, she was a scientist known to the general public, which is uncommon in Spain, especially for women. She was probably the only scientist that non-scientific people recognized as a researcher. In addition to that, Margarita was an excellent mentor. Dozens of researchers passed through her laboratory and still identify themselves as Margaritos, meaning those who came from the school of Margarita, mainly because of her work ethic and her passion for her vocation. Many of them now hold important positions in the scientific sector. Margarita was a leading figure in condemning discrimination against women in science, and she said it took her a long time to realize this and just how much it affected her own career. But once she became aware of it, she always spoke out publicly about these gender biases. Passionate about her work, dedicated to research as a way of life, and teacher of several generations dedicated to molecular biology. "You need enthusiasm," she said, "and patience to convey a passion for research, dedication, and experimental rigor. But with good students, it is not difficult to make a mark in academia." Margarita has gone down in history as an exceptional mentor and pioneering woman in science, whose figure has inspired and continues to inspire multiple generations. She has opened new doors of knowledge. Her legacy continues to be replicated in every laboratory in Spain and around the world, which is why I felt that special attention should be given to her in a podcast. So that'll be all for this episode, brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. We hope you've enjoyed it. Please leave us any questions or comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Amazon, and Castos. And you can also check us out on our YouTube channel and subscribe. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish, and Spanish culture. Our podcasts are free so that everyone can enjoy them, but we welcome listeners to support us if they wish. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.